it seems that Paul may have been referencing that. But at verse 11, many have wondered, well, is he saying the whole letter, or is he just saying right here towards the end? And we don't know for sure. But what Paul does let them know is that he penned part of this to show them, this is from my heart. This is really me writing this letter to you, or speaking this message to you. I was looking in a commentary by Douglas Moo, and I'll reference another quote from him, but I appreciate how he says this. He says, scholars love to speculate on what cannot be known. That's true, isn't it? We like to speculate on what cannot be known. And he says, and so it is regarding the reason why Paul claims he is writing such large letters. We don't know exactly here, but it seems that there was a personal message wanted. See how I have written to you in large letters. I want you to realize this is not something perhaps easy for me to do, but I've done this because I want you to know. I'm speaking from my heart to you, Galatians. I love you. And please take to heart what I am sharing with you. And so as he closes this letter, he wants to remind them again of two key observations, two things we want to observe here that I think remind us of this big idea, this big overarching message I think Paul is saying here. I think the big idea we need to have in our minds, even as we come to the table tonight, is this. By faith in God's promises, we must live a life that unashamedly boasts in the cross of Christ. And the decisions we make, the places we go, the thoughts we think, the words we say, the way that we respond to those and one another in our church family, everything we do as a Christian should be boasting unashamedly in the cross of Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't boast in your flesh. Don't boast in what in these things that you think you need to add to your salvation to be right with God. No, Christ has procured salvation through his blood for us, Paul says in Galatians. So don't think you have to add things to your salvation. No. We can't. It's worthless if you add to your salvation because it's a works salvation. No, we are saved by grace through faith. And so I just want to look real quickly at two observations. And as we walk through this passage, Paul is going to make some contrasts between those who really are living by fear versus those who are living by faith in Christ. And I know this isn't necessarily part of our missions conference, but I thought this passage fit very well with a theme that we've been thinking of this weekend of living by faith. Not by fear. And I really appreciate how Brother Chris said, I think it was this morning or maybe last night, but he said, God helps us. When we put our focus on Christ, he helps us put faith in its proper place, and he also helps us put fear in its proper place. Because there are very real fears. There are very real concerns. And it's not that we shouldn't be concerned about things, but we want to put faith in its proper place and fear in its proper place. And looking to Jesus helps us do that. And that's really what Paul is doing here. These Christians were under pressure by people who were telling them, well, you want to believe in Jesus, that's not enough. You need to add these Jewish regulations. You need to add these Jewish laws to your faith in Christ to be fully saved. Paul says, no. It's not about taking on what here is referred to circumcision, taking on the Jewish laws. It's not even living as a Gentile. It is about faith in Christ and boasting in the cross of Christ and the way that we live. So let's look at some observations as we go through here. And I think this will be probably a briefer focus tonight, but I want us to help prepare our hearts by thinking about the cross of Christ and realizing we need to boast in the gospel of Christ in the way that we live. First observation I think we can see tonight is that Paul is really showing us the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian really comes down to either living by fear or living by faith in God's word. Trusting and obeying God and his word versus trusting and obeying man's word. And he's made that clear through this letter. And we see that here. The difference between whether we are really living for Christ as a Christian ought to live or whether we're living like the world is whether we are living by fear, controlled by fear, or controlled by faith in God's word. And that's evidenced in the distinction that is made between how we live and the decisions we make. So the second observation tonight, and we're going to spend most of our time here on this, is that Paul, in these verses, makes a clear distinction between those who are controlled by fear and those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's really what Galatians is all about. It's about not being led astray by false teaching, but instead being led by the Holy Spirit through the truth of the gospel. And so let's look at verses 12 down through 18. And as we look here, we see that those who are controlled are led by fear. They will boast in other things instead of boasting in the cross of Christ. If you look at verse 12 and 13, it says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised or take on these Jewish regulations. But the only reason they're doing that," Paul says, "only they do this in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." He says in verse 13 at the end, "These people desire to boast in your flesh. Boast in what you can do. Boast in what they can force you to do. Boast in how they can make you afraid, or boast in how they are pleasing others." But Paul says, no, those who are controlled are led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will boast in the cross of Christ. Verse 14, he says, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And what the cross of Christ has done for us, it has given us a reason through Christ to boast in Christ. In a minute, I'll read a quote from Douglas Moo here. But look at the last part of verse 14. "By which," or really this is referring to Christ, "by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." This word boast, and probably if your parents trained you, they probably encourage you, don't brag about yourself. Don't boast. And really, I heard that a lot growing up. Don't brag. Even if you make a good play on the baseball team, don't brag about it. Don't boast about it. Just give God the glory. Hey, I'm glad God gave me the body where I could make that play. But don't brag. But this word here, boast, carries the idea of boasting in, rejoicing in, being glad of, boasting. But notice Paul says, I don't boast about anything. When you go to Philippians, he says, I don't boast in me, I boast in Christ. And here he says, I boast, or I point others in the way that I live, I rejoice in the cross of Christ. I want to read a quote here from Douglas Moo, just to get the idea of how this would have really sounded odd, perhaps, to people in Paul's day, to boast in the cross of Christ. He says, "The idea of boasting in the cross of Christ probably does not strike modern readers, particularly modern Christian readers, as particularly unusual." I mean, so many of our hymns are focused on the cross, right? And thank God for that. We even see people wearing a cross, around on a necklace, or a cross on their car window, or a cross on their Bible. We see the cross everywhere. We have crosses on flags even, okay? And we boast in that a lot as Christians. But in Paul's day, what Moo is saying is, it would have been very unusual to do that. He says, "But the notion would have been strange and even bizarre for ancient readers, for whom crucifixion would have connoted violent and shameful death, something people did not talk about in polite society. In Paul's day, taking pride in the cross would be something like taking pride in the guillotine or the electric chair of today." Of course, it is not crucifixion per se in which Paul boasts, but the crucifixion of, quote, "our Lord Jesus Christ." The singular event of Christ's crucifixion, where God was reconciling the world to himself, is what transforms the cross for Paul. Paul here isn't saying, oh yeah, I'm boasting in crucifixion. No, who? Or what? The crucifixion, I boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, our Master, the one who we follow, our Lord. And Jesus, he took on human flesh. He took on a human name, the Jewish name of Joshua, which is pronounced Yeshua, which we translate as Jesus. He took on human flesh, but he's the Messiah. The Messiah of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, he died on the cross, and I'm going to boast in the death of Christ. Specifically, I'm going to boast in the cross of Christ. People ask me, what drives you, Paul? What drives you to go and be willing to suffer punishment or suffer suffering itself for Christ? It's the cross of Christ. He suffered in my place, and I want others to know of his love for them. Paul says that those who are controlled or led by fear will boast in other things than the cross. They'll boast in their flesh, their works, their income, their livelihood, their status in society. Paul says, I'm not going to boast in anything but the cross of Christ. And that's what happens for those who are led not by fear, but are controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. He also does a contrast here. He says those who are controlled by fear will fail. They will fail to faithfully live out the gospel of Christ's message. And that was his concern for the church. Oh, don't be led by fear. Don't be afraid to suffer for Christ. Don't think, oh yeah, I don't want the Jewish, unbelieving Jews to persecute me for Christ, so I'm going to try to please them and please Christ. He says, no, no, no. Be willing to suffer for Christ. And those who are controlled and led by the Holy Spirit will learn to faithfully live out the message of the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 16. He says, and as for all who walk by this rule or walk by this standard, what standard? The standard of boasting in the cross of Christ. He says, for all who walk, that word walk, I think we understand, means to live a life. Walk in the Spirit or be led by the Spirit. Walk in the light. Walk circumspectly. We see all these different times where the word walk is used. It means to conduct your life. He says, for all those who learn to live faithfully by this standard, who faithfully about the message of Christ, there is peace and mercy from God in their lives. We see in verse 12, going back real quick, we're just going to go back and forth throughout this passage, a couple things, but in verse 12, he makes it clear that those who are controlled by fear or led by fear will be focused on the external, be focused on the present, rather than focus on the spiritual and the eternal. In chapter 2, we don't need to turn there for sake of time. In chapter 2, he talks about how Titus was with him and they came to Jerusalem, and Titus was a convert who to Christ, but he wasn't Jewish, he wasn't circumcised, and the Jews were pressuring him, the Jewish Christians were pressuring him when he came to Jerusalem to get circumcised, and Paul said, no, we're not going to do it because they're wanting you to get circumcised for the wrong reasons. They think this is going to make you more right with God, and that's not how it works. In chapter 2 also, he talks about confronting Peter face to face publicly because Peter had been fellowshipping and enjoying meals and worshiping with Christians who were Gentiles. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of highfalutin Jewish people came into town, and all of a sudden, Peter was like, oh, I don't want to be thought bad of. And so he stopped fellowshipping with those people. And Paul says, that's wrong. You're wrong. And in fact, Barnabas, who was Paul's close friend, also got caught up in this, Paul says. And he was led astray. And Paul says, I had to withstand Peter to the face and say, this is not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about faith in Christ alone, not trusting in Jewish regulations or not trusting in Gentile regulations, but trusting in Christ alone. So Paul makes it clear, even here, the contrast of those who focus on the external or focus on the present. You see in verse 12 at the end, he says, some of these people are forcing you to be circumcised because they don't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. They are led by fear. They don't want to suffer. So let's appease those who want to tell us to add these Jewish laws to our life. Let's just do that because I don't want to go to the cross. Definitely don't want to go to the cross. But I don't want to lose my lands. I don't want to lose my livelihood. I don't want to lose maybe my inheritance. So let's just appease those who hate Christ and let's do what they want, but also let's serve Christ. And Paul says, no, it's one or the other. It's one or the other. So he says, those who are controlled by the Spirit, they will be focused on the spiritual, on the eternal, rather than focused on the external and the present. They will not be afraid to take a biblical stand for Christ. We see that in verse 12 at the end there, those who are led by fear are afraid to take a biblical stand for Christ. And yet Paul says in verse 14, he says, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. He says, we as Christians, if we're led by the Holy Spirit, we'll live as dead to sin and alive to Christ. We'll live as God's new creation rather than as a corrupted creation. Look at verse 15. This is beautiful. And I think so many times we focus on the first part of verse 15, but Paul says something profound, and we don't have time to go into it tonight, but profound in verse 15. He says, for neither circumcision, Jewish regulations, that doesn't count for anything, nor uncircumcision. Like those Gentiles are saying, hey, I'm free in Christ. I don't need to take on this. He says, the external doesn't matter. Your ethnicity doesn't matter. Here's what matters. A new creation. That's what matters. Just like Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, in Christ we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All that has come now is new in Christ. And so he says, we, if we are led by the Holy Spirit, verse 15, we will live as God's new creation rather than living as a corrupted creation that focuses on the externals and what we can do to earn our own salvation. We were talking in men's Bible study yesterday morning. We were talking about that very reality. Really, every false religion out there boils down to man earning their salvation somehow, some way. And some are kind of subtle at first. When you really boil down to what they really believe, it comes down to, I can somehow earn my salvation, or at least half of my salvation. But Christianity, God's word, is the only teaching out there that says, you can't earn your salvation, but God loves you anyway. And he sent his son to die on the cross in your place. And he rose him from the dead so that you could have salvation through him alone. He's paid it all. So submit to him and follow him and love him with your life. Real quickly, there's some more contrast here that Paul makes. He makes it clear in this passage that those who are led by fear will be dependent on the weakness of their own flesh. That's what they're looking to. In fact, they boast in their flesh, but it's weak. It's a weak, faulty foundation. But those who are led by the Spirit will be dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Go back to chapter 5, and this is leading up to this. Look at chapter 5, verse 25. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step or walk in step with the Spirit. Going back to verse 16 of chapter 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Again, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, one of the desires, he lists a lot of things of the flesh here that are evil and obviously wicked. But you know what's just as obviously wicked in the eyes of God? One of the works of the flesh that God hates is us craving security apart from God. Security apart from doing what God's called us to do. Thinking of our own personal protection more than thinking about obeying God. And Paul makes it very clear. If you put your dependence upon how you can keep yourself safe, I'm not talking about being wise. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not saying, Pastor Sam said we don't have to wear seatbelts anymore. I'm not saying that. But if God's calling you to do something and your first thought is, oh, but what if? That we talked about last Sunday. What if? No, God wants us to say, you know what, even if this gets kind of scary, I know God's with me. And I know he loves me. And I know his word is true. And I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. And I know that his Spirit indwells me. And so as long as I'm following him and obeying him and living life God's way, he will bless me, even if it leads through difficult times, even of suffering. Paul says those who are led by fear will make much of themselves rather than making much of Christ. And yet those who are led by the Spirit will make much of Christ in the way they live. They'll boast in the decisions that they make. Did you realize that every decision you make is giving you an option, even in the way that you make that decision or the reason why you make that decision or how you go forward in that decision is really a decision to boast in the cross of Christ? Think about it. And you might say, Pastor Sam, I think you're stretching that one a little bit. Well, I was thinking about it this afternoon, and I know I have to compare Scripture with Scripture, but what does God say in 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How can I, what makes it possible for me to live for the glory of God? The cross of Christ. If Christ had not died on the cross for my sin and risen from the grave, there wouldn't be no way for me to live, consciously choose to live for the glory of God. That's a work of his Spirit. And the Spirit only comes through faith in Christ, which is based upon the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So even as I make a list to go, well, I shouldn't say, as Sarah makes a list to go grocery shopping, or as I look through my events of the week and I think, how's this going to work, and try to plan things out, knowing full well that it might not work the way I'm thinking, even at the forefront of my mind, I can be thinking, I want to make good decisions this week that point others to Jesus. So I go grocery shopping and I want to be a good steward of the money God's given me. I go grocery shopping, and I want to live differently than those who are rushing around with no hope and are far from Christ. And as I have an opportunity, even as I respond to my children as they get out of the car, respond to the people in front of me in line, or all these different things, I want to point them to Christ and boast in Christ and even the way I live. For me, as I even prepare a message for the week, oh, that I wouldn't just go through the motions. And oh yeah, it's Sunday, got to get a message ready. Oh, Wednesday, got to get... No, I need your prayers for me. So that as I prepare messages and I have opportunities with counseling folks and just praying with folks, that I'm pointing them to Christ and boasting in Christ, even as I counsel someone who's struggling and going through a hard situation. When we make a decision to be faithful, to worship at God's house on a regularly, weekly basis, we are showing our neighbors, hey, I boast in Christ. He's what matters to me. When I say, no, I'm not going to do this. I know this may displease my family, but I've got to follow Christ. I've got to put him first in my life, in my schedule. And they don't understand. Yes, it could cause, there could be a fear there. Oh, I might make them mad. Oh, I might, but you know what, at the end of the day, who do we love most? Do we love Christ? Do we love our family? And that might be a hard reality for us to swallow, but what did Christ say? Oh, if you follow me, I'm going to set brother against father and friend against friend, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to choose me. Will you boast in my cross? Will you take up your cross daily and follow me? It is a big decision, but it's a blessed decision when we follow Christ. Real quickly, a couple more things. Then we're gonna celebrate God's table. But they will not. These folks who are led by fear will not be willing to suffer for Christ, and they will not be alone in their disobedience. There will be many who will make that decision to be led by fear. But look what Paul says in verse 16, 17, and 18. He says, as for all who walk by this rule or this standard, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. He says in verse 16 that those who are controlled or led by the Holy Spirit will know and experience God's peace and mercy because they will boast in Christ's cross and the way that they live, and God will bless them. Verse 17, though, he makes it clear, we will suffer for Christ if we are led by the Holy Spirit. We will. Verse 17, he says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. It's almost like, don't let anyone else harass me in the Jewish or the Christian community. Why? Because I suffer for Christ, and I don't have time for that. Don't pretend. Don't tell me, Paul. This isn't bragging in himself, but he's saying, I am suffering for Christ. He says, I bear on my body the marks of Christ. I think what he's saying here is the scars that Paul wore, and he had been stoned, and this is still early, but he had been to Lystra already, I believe. He had been stoned. He had been beaten with rods, and you think of Paul's life down the road. He knew what it was to suffer, even physically, for Christ, and he says, I bear in my body the decisions I make, and even as I struggle with physical infirmities, perhaps, because of the suffering that I've done for Christ, don't try to hold me back. Don't try to trouble me. Don't try to distract me. I'm focusing on following Christ. We will suffer for Christ, but look at verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. We will not be alone. We will not be alone in our obedience for Christ if we're led by the Holy Spirit. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I love how he adds, be with your spirit. A lot of times it's be with you, just a closing, grace be with you. Here he says, grace be with your spirit, your inner man, the very core of your being. God's grace will be with you, indwelling you, empowering you when you are led by the Spirit. And so I think the ultimate distinction that Paul makes here is this: those who are led by fear, controlled by fear of others, fear of the flesh, fear of not getting to do what they want to do in life, they will live as adversaries to biblical grace. And it'll be seen in the way they live. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, instead of living as adversaries to biblical grace, they will live as agents, conduits, channels of biblical grace. And that's where we want to fall. This is what this table reminds us of. It reminds us that Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate penalty for us, and he loves us, and he's called us to go and boast in his cross in the way that we live. So as we close this evening, prepare our hearts, I would just say this in a word of application. Beware. This Galatians letter is written to say, beware. Beware of fears, temptations to control or distract you. But this letter also says, hey, when you're confronted with fears, temptations, boast in the glory of the cross of Christ. Look to the cross. And you realize that there was one who did not yield to fear. There was one who knew the pain that he was heading to, but he willingly endured the pain of the cross and the death of the cross for you and me. And if we put our gaze on him, we boast in the cross of Christ, we'll be led by his Spirit, and we won't be led by fear. So by faith in God's promises, may we live a life that unashamedly boasts in the cross of Christ. Nate, would you mind coming here? And I'm so thankful for Nate. Man, he started all those songs so well for us. That's a talent, a gift that I do not have. But he's going to lead us in our communion hymn, Jesus, Thank You. And we should always be thankful as we come to this table. And so as he leads us in this song, may our hearts be filled with thankfulness to our great Savior, Jesus Christ.
Are you putting the words up there, Ben? Okay. Just checking. Let's wait for the screen to come down there. All right, thanks, Ben.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend.